the Skagway Convention and Visitors Bureau changes its name, and the Alaska Supreme Court rules that the state was wrong to sanction a no man over an open letter to a newspaper he wrote in advance of a Native Corporation's board election. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. The Skagway Convention and Visitors Bureau may take on a new name, and the municipality looks for ways to get Dyea Road fixed. KHNS's Claire Strempel has your Skagway Assembly meeting recap.
The Skagway Assembly unanimously passed the first reading of an ordinance to rename its visitor department. The Skagway Convention and Visitors Bureau looks likely to become the Skagway Tourism Department. Its board would get a new name, too, the Skagway Tourism Advisory Board. Mayor Andrew Cremata brought the ordinance forward.
This is necessary, in my opinion, and fitting. The work that the current Convention and Visitors Bureau, as it's currently named, is doing is very much more related to tourism. And the role that they're taking on now and the work that they're doing to get us prepared for dealing with COVID protocols has been exceptional.
He says conventions are rare in Skagway these days, and the department's work is centered on tourism. The ordinance's second reading will be at the next assembly meeting on January 21st. An ordinance to give the tourism department more latitude in coming up with slogans for marketing and advertising was postponed until after the potential name change is decided. The assembly discussed the state of Dyea Road after December's severe storms. Mayor Cremata said the state's response has been too slow. Assemblymember Orion Hansen said the roads are unsafe, and an estimated 100 people live on the other side of the slide area. He wants the state to act.
We've squeaked a little bit on the wheel, but now we need to start barking. I'm pretty upset that they have kind of not paid attention to their duty to keep our road accessible and safe.
The assembly approved the mayor to take the matter to the borough attorney in an attempt to resolve the issue before spring. Assemblymember Burnham suggested bringing a resolution to the next assembly meeting. The assembly unanimously approved a resolution that will allow the municipality to apply for an extra $3 million to complete sewer and water upgrades on State Street. It already has a $1.8 million clean water loan from the state's Department of Environmental Conservation. The first half of the project was completed last summer. The Finance Committee recommended the move to increase the amount of that loan to $4.8 million so they can begin the process of getting the north half of the State Street Utility Project underway. The Assembly voted to renew the municipality's long-standing contract with lobbyist John Walsh. His services cost the municipality $47,500 a year. His work was commended by the mayor and some Assembly members, including Steve Burnham.
Any issue that we have here that involves extended government, whether that be state or federal, or financing from grants or we can call him and get advice on steps we're going to take. And he's pretty much on the spot right there when you need him.
The assembly also approved the clinic to purchase a 10-patient bed ward and two-person isolation shelter for just under $150,000. That money will come from the clinic's CARES Act funding, not the municipality's. For KHNS, I'm Claire Strempel.
Alaska's highest court has ruled the state was wrong to sanction a no man over an open letter to a newspaper he wrote in advance of a Native Corporation's board election. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, justices did not rule on the broader constitutional issues of free speech for Native Corporation shareholders.
The state's financial regulator fined Austin Amasok $1,500 for a letter to the editor he had published in the Nome Nugget in 2017. They said he should have filed paperwork under regulations that require shareholders to disclose their connections before soliciting votes, called proxies. Austin Amasok argued that his letter wasn't supporting or criticizing any individuals running to lead the Village Corporation, of which he's a shareholder. Susan Orlansky argued the case on Amasok's behalf.
Nobody's looking for votes for particular slates or particular candidates because we don't even know who's running. The notion that that fits within the definition of a proxy solicitation trouble the Supreme Court.
Rather, he'd encouraged fellow shareholders with voting powers not to file discretionary proxies. Those are basically blank ballots that can later be used by a slate of candidates, usually endorsed by the sitting board of directors. Critics say blank ballots handed to the board slate give incumbents an advantage over independent challengers. Some justices were skeptical when, under questioning last year, the state's attorney conceded that even an open letter urging shareholders to attend a meeting technically falls under regulated speech. Acting on complaints, state financial regulators routinely investigate and sanction shareholders for comments made in print and online that are perceived to sway a corporate board election, like an opinion piece in a newspaper, but more often it's an online post in a Facebook shareholder forum. Sitnasauk Native Corporation wasn't party to the lawsuit, but some of the state's regional Native corporations filed briefs supporting the state's power to regulate shareholder speech. Doyen, Calista, and the Bristol Bay Native Corporation were among them. Orlansky says it's good to have this decision to guide future actions.
I would say that lawyers for other shareholders, as well as lawyers for the division or for Native corporations, ought to read this decision very carefully, because I think the decision holds some suggestions.
Orlansky says the Alaska Supreme Court ruling is a win for her client, and she says the justice's decision outlines how the state's regulations potentially fall afoul of the U.S. Constitution on free speech and due process grounds.
But the Supreme Court very clearly didn't decide those questions. It did what courts often do and decide the issue in front of it, and very specifically, nothing further.
The state says it's reviewing the court's decision. An Alaska Department of Law spokeswoman noted state financial regulators continue to have authority over ANCSA shareholders' public communications, even if they're in the press or on social media. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to the news anywhere you get your podcasts.